There was this one day when I packed my bags And I said to Andrew, this is it, I'm out, I'm finished, I've had enough. It's all your fault, everything that ever goes wrong is all your fault. That was my thinking at the time. And I said, I'm going now. Bye. I'm leaving. I think we had one, maybe two children. I can't even actually remember. It's about 8 years ago. And he said to me, where are you going? I said, I don't know, I'll just go. Probably, I don't know, my sister. I'm going now. And Andrew did something amazing that day. Because I can imagine with everything within him, he'd want to say, then go. I will be very happy. I'm sure he felt like I know he felt like I did. And I'm sure he could also imagine that a week or month or year without me could actually be quite glorious. I won't be nagging in his ears all the time. But instead of doing that, he went on his knees and he said, will you please stay? And can we work this out? So I looked at him there on his knees and I just couldn't go because he was on his knees begging me. So I put the bag, my suitcase back in my house and I said, okay. So we went on our knees and we took hands and we said, God, we don't know what to do now. We need help us. There's nothing now. There's nothing new under the sun. We've been around this mountain a million times. We cannot sort this out. Will you please help us? So we ended our prayer in the name of Jesus, amen. And we carried on. And somehow, God helped us. I cannot tell you how. I don't even know exactly what happened, but God helped us. And our marriage became stronger than it was before that incident. And there's something that I learned from that experience, and that was that our marriage indeed is the safest place that I know. And I just remembered the covenant that we made. Our wedding day was the 1st of January 2000 on Millennium Day. Plus my husband to get married on Millennium Day. Only he would do that. And I just was so aware of the fact that on that day we said, in good times and in bad times, in sickness and in health, till death do us part. And there's something that I understood that day. I understood that this is the safest relationship. Because even in the worst of times, we can work it out. Even in the worst of times, we can come to God and we can say, God, we made a covenant. You need to help us here because we made a covenant. We said, till death do us part. And something that I understood was that there is nothing safer than covenant. And unfortunately in this world, many marriages do not work out. And God has so much grace and so much love. He takes us through it. He heals us. He restores us. But something that I really came to understand is that God makes a relationship, and this is not where our source is from. Our source is from God. When we look to our spouse to be our source of comfort and peace and perfect love, it might end in a divorce. But God still wanted to create a relationship on this earth where we can completely understand what it means to feel safe and to be naked and not ashamed. And this is what is so amazing about the marriage covenant. It is the only place where we are supposed to be naked and not ashamed, because it is covenant. And covenant says, doesn't matter what you look like when you are naked, doesn't matter what you do or don't do or did or didn't do or are going to do or not do, I'm going to stick with you. Man, I'm going to stick with you, and Andrew made that decision. He made a very firm decision, and if it takes some begging, I will do it. But I am going to stick with you because we have a covenant relationship. And when we understand and get to know God, there's something that we must know about God. The only kind of relationship that God can relate to is a covenant relationship. There is no other way that God understands or defines relationship. Now, when you look at the word covenant, it comes from the word berit. And the word berit means to cut. And something that we know from the Old Testament is that when people entered into covenant with each other, it could never be done without blood. There always had to be blood. Why is that? I know sometimes these things sound complicated. It is not complicated. You know, I'm not an academic person at all. I am the furthest from academic that I know. I never understand academic kind of sermons. And if I can understand it, then all of us can understand it. And Leviticus 17 verse 11 says, because the life of the flesh is in the blood itself, and I myself have given it to you all, so that atonement may be made for your souls on the altar, since the blood itself makes atonement through the life that is within it. So in the Old Testament, when there was sin, there had to be a sacrifice. And the fact that the blood of that animal had to flow, the thing is not the animal that dies. The thing is that the life is in the blood. All of us that are sitting here have blood. If you don't have blood, raise your hand. Maybe there's an angel here, and that would be glorious. I don't know if angels have blood. I don't know if they have, when they manifest in human form, they probably can also have blood. But the fact of the matter is, we are all alive and well sitting here because the blood is flowing through our veins. The life is in the blood. And whenever there was sin, atonement had to be made. It had to be fixed by the life that is in the blood. As simple as that. And when people in the Old Testament wanted to make a covenant with each other, and this is a whole teaching on its own, because we are not going to speak about it today, but there's only this one thing that I want to mention. There was never a covenant made without blood. So they would actually cut themselves on their wrists, and then it would bleed, and then they would rub their both cuts. I would cut myself, and for instance, my mother would cut herself, and we would rub that blood, and our blood would mingle. And then they would say, my blood is flowing in you, and your blood is flowing in me, and we became one. That's pretty intense. That is pretty hectic. And then they would say, if I ever break this covenant, may I die. My death come to me if I ever break this covenant. And then they would take a step further and they would exchange names. That is why my surname was Goodwin. I used to love it. That is why I'm not Christel Goodwin anymore. 14 years ago, I exchanged names and I became Christel Myburg because I took on the identity of my husband. And what would happen is, they would mingle the blood and they would say, now my blood is flowing in you and your blood is flowing in me and we are becoming one. And they would take ash and they would rub it on this wound so that they would make an obvious scar. And they would say, this is for me to remember. Whenever I see my wrist, I will remember that I became you and you became me. We exchange identities. That is pretty intense. That is pretty hectic. Now, with this in mind, when God speaks in the Word about a friend, He speaks about a covenant friend. So God cannot relate to And they were scared and they were busy. God cannot be made to them. Now when you look at James 2, verse 23, and I'm briefly going to speak about Abraham, but it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. God called Abraham a friend because they had a covenant relationship. They had a commitment to each other that was so intense. That was so incredibly intense. Now, when you look at Proverbs 18, verse 24, it was up on the screen when Tammy and Nevada were speaking. They were very close to talking. And it says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who speaks closer than a brother. That is a covenant friend. Now, you may have heard the saying that says, blood is thicker than water. Have you ever wondered where it comes from? They used to say in the Bible times, when we have mingled our blood, our relationship is stronger than even that of twins in the womb of their mother. In other words, the water that the twins are in the womb is not as binding and as intimate and as close as the blood that you and I mingled and we became one. And this speaks about a relationship that covers everything, a multitude of sin. Because Uncle and I are married and it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what I do and I should only do godly things, but I am human. And whatever I do, he made a covenant with me. And whatever he does, I made a covenant with him. And it covers a multitude of sin. It is the safest relationship that one can ever be in. Now, God came to Abraham. And he said to Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you. Now the question was, how can we enter into covenant with God? How can we do that? God is indeed perfect. God does not make mistakes. He never fails. But we cannot keep that kind of covenant. We are simply not able to. Now I'm not going to go read the whole story, and I know to some of us this may be a little bit abstract, but you can go, you can study this at home, you can study more on these scriptures, but I just want to read what happened there. God said, Abraham, I'm going to make a covenant with you. And then Abraham fell into a deep sleep. And listen what the scripture says, Hebrews 10 verse 16. No, sorry, Genesis 15, verse 17. When the sun had fully set and it was dark, a smoking fire pot and a fiery torch passed between the animal pieces. Now, when they used to make covenant, to make a covenant relationship in the Bible times, they would open up this animal that represented the blood flow and the dead animal, they would open up and they would walk in a figure eight around the animal, which is a never-ending walk. A figure eight, you don't know where it starts and where it stops. It doesn't end. And then they would say, let it be unto me as unto this animal if I break this covenant. Let me die. Now, God said to Abraham, I want to make a covenant with you. But Abraham, you are human, and it's not actually possible. But what happened? He fell into a deep sleep, and who came in Abraham's place to walk that figure eight with Father God? You can tell me? Jesus. And the fiery torch here refers to Jesus. That is why Abraham had to go into a deep sleep, because Jesus came and Jesus made that covenant. And what happened years later when Jesus physically came to earth? What did he do? dead cross. And he gave his life. And the blood of Jesus, the love that was in the blood of Jesus, came on our behalf so that we can have covenant with God. And that is all we actually need to understand about covenant. Is the fact that God said, I love you so much, I want this intense, intimate relationship with you. That is what I want. But you are not able to bring your share to the table. But that is fine. Because my son will do it. My son will do it for you. He will come and he will pay the price. And whenever I look at you, I will see the light of the blood that flowed on that terrible, glorious day. And you will be clean before me. And I am able to have this intimate, intense, covenant relationship with you. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
Now listen to this. In the Old Testament, people had many rules to obey. It was very difficult. And whenever they sinned, they had to go back and they had to sacrifice something and blood had to flow to fix it. And then Jesus came and he became the ultimate sacrifice. Now listen to this, Hebrews 10 verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. I love this scripture. I love this scripture. And you know why I love it? Because I experience it. Because there's something that I experience in my covenant relationship with God that I'm going to try and explain now that is the most glorious thing. You know, God says, if you need wisdom, if you need the Holy Spirit, whatever you need, ask. There's a whole sermon that I can do on that. But he says, ask. And then he says, you don't have because you don't ask. There's something that I've experienced in my life. We had a leaders meeting recently, a church leaders meeting, and Anton asked the question, he said, how do we develop a heart for the lost? How do we have that heart for the lost? And we had all kinds of fancy answers and this and that and that and the other. And then Sylvia just settled it. She said, we ask. We ask God to give it to us. That's what Sylvia said. That's what we did. And then everything changed for us and we became different people. We ask. So God says, if you want something from me, you need to ask me. And this is something that I've experienced in my life, and I believe many of us that are sitting here. When we ask God, God, I want your wisdom. God, I want your Holy Spirit. God, I want you to reveal yourself to me. Whatever we are asking, this is the way that God answers our prayer. He comes into our hearts and he creates a hunger and a thirst. And suddenly, I have a desire, I have a craving. It's like eating salt. It's like we ask for salt. And God gives the salt and we eat the salt. And suddenly you need to have water. You need to have water. You really need water. Because you are a mouthful of salt. What you need is water. In the very same way, God says, you ask me and I will create within you such a hunger, such a desire, that no longer do you go and read rule A, rule B, the Ten Commandments. You may not, you may not, you may not, you may not. You should, you should, you should. You know, I tell my children, go, 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 do, 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 do. And they look at me like, can you please keep quiet? But I love them, and I embrace them, and I build relationship with them.
because I just want to. Now what this scripture is referring to is to the fact that no longer, because of the life of the blood of Jesus, no longer do we say, I must, I shouldn't, tick. Because it becomes the desire of our hearts. It becomes the thing that we want the most. It becomes the craving of our lives. And that is why God says, I write it on your heart. I put it on your mind. I change you from the inside out. And I do it constantly. And what was okay 5 years ago is not okay any longer. And a couple of years ago, my idea of a perfect Saturday night, Saturday evening, and my idea now of a perfect Saturday evening is worlds apart. I no longer think a perfect evening is a movie or a DVD. Yes, that's fine. We can enjoy that. That no longer satisfies me or fulfills me. I see that movie and I go, oh, okay. Because the craving within me, the desire within me, the hunger within me is so much deeper, for so much more. I want so much more. We spent the whole meeting in Stellenbosch speaking about being fearless. And I realized that in my heart, I am just craving to be fearless enough to do what God is calling me to do. It no longer sounds like a good idea. I crave it with my whole being. I want it with my whole being. I desire it with everything that is within me. And whatever I do, I want to do to get to that place. I want it. That is what I want. It becomes such a strong desire. I find myself, I was at Cosmo School this week doing the assembly with the children. And we have the praise and worship before the assembly. And we sing, primary school, we sing songs like, I've got joy like a mountain, children's songs. And I find myself closing my eyes, lifting my hands, and singing as if it is just me and God. Because to worship God is just, it's just, I cannot explain it. Whether it is with the great ones at the school, whether it is while I'm cooking in the kitchen and I put the music on, whether there is no music and I'm singing, it is something that God did in my heart. And it is something that I crave. And Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, just before this, it's that well-known scripture, I know the plans that I have for you, says God, not to wrong you, but to give you a future and to give you a hope. But this is what follows. He said, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I'm reminded of the double portion. Do you know what the double portion is? The firstborn of every family in Israel had a double portion of the inheritance. That was just the privilege of the firstborn. That was the rule. If you were born first, the firstborn son, then you received a double portion of the inheritance. But there were people in the Word of God who were pretty desperate for that double portion. And they got it. We see Jacob. It was not very honest what he did. God uses everything. Jacob, his father was too old to... Jacob so badly wanted that double portion. When his brother came from the field and he was exhausted and hungry, and he said, oh, that lentil soup, and by the way, I make a lentil soup that is just as good as that lentil soup in the Bible. It's the only thing that I'm really good at in the kitchen. So, I think it was the same recipe. So Jacob says, Esau says to Jacob, I want that soup, I'm exhausted, I'm famished, I'm so hungry, give me that soup. And Jacob says, oh, you can have the soup, give me your firstborn life, that's what I want. He was desperate to have it. And Esau was really not wise, and he gets it. And that is why Jacob got it. Even though he was dishonest, he got it when Esau gave it away. He got it. We see Elijah is going upon Elisha. Think about Elisha is going up to heaven. This is quite an intimate moment between him and God. He didn't even die. He was like that. And Elisha is so desperate for that double portion. He runs and he says, "My father, my father, can you bless me before you go?" Can you imagine that? Can you imagine one of us here going up and we run so desperate to get that double portion? God says, "Man, if you really want it, guess what? I'm going to give it to you. If you don't really want it, I'm not going to give my precious things, my precious secrets, my precious purposes. I'm not going to give it to you. It is too precious. It is like my children. I'm not going to give them my most precious stuff that I inherited from my granny, because they will break it. I love them. I don't trust them with it." In the same way, God says, because if you really want it, guess what? If you really want it, if you are desperate for it, you will treat it the way it should be treated. You will walk with it the way that you should walk with it. The word says, walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And what God is saying, I want to enter with you into this intimate, amazing relationship. But you must want it. And if you don't really want it, you will see some of me, you will never see the fullness of me. Can we stand? Father God, again this morning we want to thank you that you are so real. Oh Father, thank you that all you want from us is our hearts and all of our hearts. Oh Father, we want to thank you this morning that you have given everything. You have given everything, and you knew that the life that we lead was in the blood of your Son, and you gave it up. You gave it up. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, and we thank you that you took our place on the cross. And look at us today. Look at us. We can just come. We can just come. So Father, we come. As a church, we come. And we want to receive what you want to give. And Father, as a church, this is what we want to ask from you this morning. May you find us walking worthy of the calling with which you have called us. May you find us so desperate for that double portion, so desperate that you can say, "I am going to give it to you. I am going to give you more than you could ever think of or dream of or imagine, because you understand covenant." And Father, thank you that amongst us here, to the greatest one of us, from the greatest one of us, to the least of us, to the little children that are at Children's Church, who don't understand much yet, to the least of us, you want to come and just establish that covenant relationship. And Father, we want to thank you that it is the safest place. Father, some of us have failed in marriage. Some of us have failed in our relationships. Some of us have failed know about it, but God, you said, it is okay, it is fine, I forgive you, I love you, I made you my child, and I enter into covenant with you, it is forgiven. And in me, you are safe. Father, thank you that you are never, ever going to leave us. That you are never going to forsake us. But that you are going to cover us. And thank you, Father, that your banner over us is love. We worship you, Lord, Father. Father, we worship you for it. You are a good God. You are a good God, and who are we that you love us so much, but yet you gave your life. And we worship you for it. If there is anybody here who needs prayer, anybody who does not have a relationship with the Lord, anybody who is broken, anybody who is struggling, anybody who is sick in their bodies, don't you come to the front. We have another 10 minutes or so to pray over you. You know, God is really just wanting to love on us, to reach out his arms and just love us. If that is you, won't you come to the front? We want to pray with you. People who have sickness in their bodies, we are going to sing one more song before we have some tea and coffee.